What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 358. In this episode, I'll discuss an article about exposure to antibiotics and development of new resistance, answer the drug information question, can naloxone reverse oversedation from clonidine toxicity, and share a tip for responding to medical emergencies. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode358. The title of the article for this episode is Duration of Exposure to Anti-Pseudomonal Beta-Lactam Antibiotics in the Critically Ill and Development of New Resistance. The lead author is Besu Teshome, and this was published in the journal Pharmacotherapy, December 2018. A major focus of antimicrobial stewardship is minimizing the duration of broad-spectrum antimicrobial exposure in the critically ill. It's hoped that by doing so, the development of bacterial resistance will be impeded. The authors of this study sought to correlate the duration of exposure to anti-pseudomonal beta-lactam antibiotics with the development of new resistance in critically ill patients. The study was a single-center retrospective cohort study in a large academic tertiary care hospital. Over 7,000 adults with a discharge diagnosis of severe sepsis or septic shock who received at least one dose of cefepime, meropenem, or piperacillin tazobactam during their hospitalization were included in the analysis. Exposure was defined as the cumulative days of any anti-pseudomonal beta-lactam after initiation and throughout a 60-day follow-up period. The primary outcome was the development of new resistance to any anti-pseudomonal beta-lactam more than 3 days after the first dose of either cefepime, meropenem, or piperacillin tazobactam. This was defined as detection of resistance to any anti-pseudomonal beta-lactam not identified within 180 days before cohort entry. As a secondary outcome, each individual anti-pseudomonal beta-lactam was also evaluated. Statistical significance was found for each of the primary and secondary outcomes. Each additional day of exposure to any anti-pseudomonal beta-lactam resulted in an adjusted hazard ratio of 1.04 for new resistance. The risk of developing new resistance to cefepime, meropenem, and piperacillin tazobactam for each additional day of exposure resulted in an adjusted hazard ratio of 1.08, 1.02, and 1.08, respectively. The authors concluded, among critically ill patients who receive anti-pseudomonal beta-lactam antibiotics, each additional day of exposure to cefepime, meropenem, and piperacillin tazobactam is associated with an increased risk of new resistance development. This is an important study to help confirm the current guideline recommendations to minimize exposure to antibiotics by using the shortest possible course of therapy. The study also quantifies the potential effects of stewardship interventions on preventing the development of new resistance. The hazard ratio can be thought of as follows. Each additional day of piperacillin tazobactam therapy leads to an 8% increase in the risk of new resistance. Therefore, extending a course of therapy from 5 days to 10 days leads to a 40% or 8% per day times 5 additional days increase in the risk of new resistance. Efforts to minimize development of new resistance should be kept in perspective, though. One case of new resistance developed after 600 patient days of antibiotics in this study. Since this is a relatively rare incidence rate, efforts to minimize antibiotic duration should be focused on patients who the clinician is confident have received an adequate course of antibiotics. The drug information question for this episode is, can naloxone reverse oversedation from clonidine toxicity? And the answer is yes, if the dose is right. Naloxone has not always been considered reliable for clonidine toxicity, but this may be because the dose given was not high enough. A recent article in the journal Clinical Toxicology describes the use of naloxone to reverse oversedation in pediatric patients with clonidine overdose. Of 51 somnolent patients, naloxone administration awoke 40 patients. 20 patients received a naloxone dose of 10 milligrams, and 31 patients received 6 milligrams or less. No adverse effects occurred in any patient, including the 21 patients who received 10 milligrams naloxone. The authors surmise that since morbidity from clonidine overdose is mostly related to intubation, high-dose naloxone should be used in all clonidine overdose patients with sedation to prevent the need for intubation. And my tip for responding to medical emergencies. When using high-dose insulin for beta blocker or calcium channel blocker overdose, remember that the hemodynamic response to high-dose insulin does not occur until 15 to 45 minutes after initiation. Maximal use of other therapies must be employed while the effects of high-dose insulin therapy kick in. IV calcium chloride and vasopressors such as norepinephrine or epinephrine are the mainstay of therapy until high-dose insulin can take effect. Members of my hospital pharmacy academy have access to my masterclass training on high-dose insulin euglycemia for calcium channel blocker and beta blocker overdose, which covers the background, use, and weaning of high-dose insulin as well as a sample protocol. To access this and over 50 other trainings, go to pharmacyjoe.com/academy. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.